Lord, that He walks with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us, and He is there as we work. I'm going to reflect on what I think is a good Labor Day message. As we think about the calling God has in our life, what we are to do, I'm mindful of that passage in 1 Corinthians. So you can turn to that. We'll do a little bit of the background, but I'm just going to begin by reading the last verse, 58. Of chapter 15. Therefore, brethren, brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And that is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Labor Day weekend, it's a time where we celebrate the gift of God, work that He has given us to do, work that was with us before the fall. Adam had a job to do. It's not a result of sin that we are called to work. And it's a time when we as Christians specifically say thank you to God for keeping our hands busy, keeping our minds engaged, and engaging us in something useful, far beyond just making a product or turning out something that is useful for people. That's important, but there's another work to which He calls us. Now, it's very rare to find a person who says, I can't believe that they pay me to do this job. Is there anybody? Does anybody have a job like that where you're like, wow, this is great? Yeah, that's very common. There are days when you say, like, wow, is there anything else I can be doing? And I think that is the result evident of the fall. Thorns and thistles entangle everything that we do. I feel that's one of the marks of Cain, that you see that Cain had this curse of God, but part of that curse was as he was out building cities and developing ironworks and making music, there was integrated into all those products sin that came with us everywhere. Yet, Paul encourages us here, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I love J.B. Phillips' paraphrase of this. He says, be sure that nothing you do for Him is ever lost or wasted. Now think about that on your most mundane day. I would say, hey, what would you say is the worst day of your professional life in the work that you do? Can you think of a day where you just said, like, I could have been playing ping pong today and got more accomplished than that? We all have those days. And it's a reminder that no matter how difficult or seemingly mindless or unimportant our work seems, that what we do for the Lord is meaningful for Him, because our calling, more than just the work that we do to earn the money to pay the bills, but our calling is to represent the Lord wherever He leads us. And if we believe that God is sovereign, where He is leading you right now is exactly where He wants you to be. Now you think, oh, but I can think about a lot of situations. What if I robbed somebody, you know, and I ended up in jail? Well, as a Christian, you are there for a reason. There is work for you to do there. Part of your work is to realize what you did wrong to get you to end up there, but nevertheless, you have to represent Jesus Christ. That's an extreme example, but apply that to your situation. What's your situation? What's my situation right now in life? A student, an employee, a retired person, somebody that's going through a very difficult physical crisis that you're calling right now, single, married, married again. That is your current situation, and in the midst of that, you are called, I am called to represent God well. Now, the author of Ecclesiastes, we all know that he looks at the work that everybody's doing under the sun, and he says, it's meaningless, meaningless, vanity, vanity. What are we doing under the sun? He's making a contrast between the work that we do for the here and now, and that would be a career path if you're a student. You're going to end up in some line of work. And what are we working for? We want to have a good job when we get out of college so we can pay off our debts, so that we can get enough money, so that we can buy a house and have a family, and then make enough money so that we have a nice retirement. And it's never enough, is it? Never enough. You cannot have enough. Rockefeller, he was the one that was quoted as saying, oh, how much money do you really need, Mr. Rockefeller? And he said, just one more dollar. One more. I just always need one more. And there's that urge, and that's where it gets meaningless. And I'm wondering, as we're looking at our life, if we're saying, like, okay, is what I'm engaged at meaningless? Are we climbing the highest ladder we possibly could climb? And as you've heard it said, and that ladder's leaning against the wrong wall. What am I doing here? Or you get this in sports where the thrill of victory, you win the championship and you're celebrating it. This is the best day ever. And then tomorrow you wake up and, like, it's just not quite so satisfying. You have to keep reliving those good old days, right? And in the end, all of our achievements in the here and now blow, like an old Kansas song says, it's dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. And that would be a bleak picture if it were not for the grace of God that triumphs over the curse. Not only does God triumph over the curse of the fall and the meaninglessness of life, but he actually sanctifies our work. And this is accomplished, was accomplished in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Stick with me here. I'm making a case for why at the end of a resurrection passage, he says your labor is not in vain. So let's look at the context. Remember, Corinthians, here's just a big picture. The book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, was written by Paul to the church in Corinth. Now, this city was a major commercial center. It was also known for immorality, idolatry, paganism, and pretty crazy debauchery. Think New Orleans. New Orleans and the Mardi Gras event. That is maybe a snapshot of what Corinthians was like, or Corinth was like. So in the first half of this letter, Paul's talking to a church that's living in that context, and he's realizing that there's a lot of things happening in the church that were making it like the culture. And he says, no, you have to be different than the culture. And so he says you have to listen to God's command. How do we have fellowship here in this church? That's the first half of this. The second half of this letter, he spends his time getting another issue. There's a lack of love within the fellowship of God's people. We tolerate each other, but there's not that loving, we're walking with each other no matter what kind of a mentality. And he addresses that, and he starts saying, like, okay, what does it look like in our giving? What does that look like as we're worshiping together? And he's building up to a climax when he gets to 1 Corinthians 15. Now we're kind of narrowing the context down a little bit. Paul reminds his readers about Jesus' resurrection. Why would he do that? He's calling them and us, by way of extension, to live in the light of what Jesus Christ has done. This chapter is often referred to as the resurrection chapter because it extensively discusses the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In fact, he says, look, honestly, if Jesus Christ didn't raise, and you'll have to settle this issue in your mind, if Jesus has not been raised from the dead, we're just playing games here. We're just an organization, we're just a club, whatever. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ is what sets us apart from the world. So the first part of this, he's talking about some doubts that people may have about the resurrection. And you can read that and get that nailed down a little bit more. But he is noticing that how central it is to the Christian faith. He says it so much, so strongly, that if there is no resurrection, then our faith is in vain. Now we're getting to meaninglessness there again. But if there's resurrection is real, and think about this. If it's real, then everything that we do has meaning and purpose, and nothing else compared to it has as much meaning. So that brings us to verse 50. And there he starts showing how Jesus' victory over death. And I want to read that a little bit. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the perishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the imperishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And then he says in a little poem there, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God that he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is what defines our purpose for living. It defines what we work for and what we do. So that brings us to verse 58. Therefore, brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Stand firm. That means Christians are not to be easily swayed or discouraged by the opposition. We focus on the Lord. That's why we have the sacraments. The sacraments are nothing more, nothing less than pointing to Jesus Christ, saying his death, his resurrection is what gives us meaning in this world. Nothing else gives us meaning other than the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Stand firm in that. Remind yourself of that constantly as you're going about your work. It's a call to maintain strong. Be strong in your faith. Do not waver. Listen carefully to what you're hearing and what you're learning from the culture around us. That's why weekly we're not saying anything brand new every Sunday other than in one way or another. Remember that Jesus died on the cross, that he rose, that he set us free. And now Paul drives this point home by saying, let nothing move you. Don't be blown away by the wind of discouragement, by fine-sounding arguments that are led to sway you away from the central truth of Jesus Christ. We need to stay rooted in our conviction in the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we can't do that apart from the Holy Spirit. Let nothing move you. Persevere. Hang on to the very end. Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end. It's easy to pray that prayer, but we're going to need the Holy Spirit's help to live that prayer. He says, always give yourself fully to what? The work of the Lord. This means that we need to commit ourselves, give ourselves fully to the work that Jesus Christ has given us to do. Now, we are committed not just to believing that Jesus is real, that he walked in Palestine 2,000 some years ago, but what we believe should change how we live. It should motivate us to get up in the morning to do our work. And Paul says we have to give ourselves fully to this work. In other words, don't do what you do half-heartedly. If you are a student, you're not just there to get to be the top of your class, the smartest kid in your class. You're there to do the work of the Lord fully. Don't do it half-heartedly. So apply yourself to your work. Do the best you possibly can. Don't cut corners. Not just for the honors that you can get here, but because you are learning how to live in God's world. As a worker, you don't just go through the motions, but you work hard. As a farmer, you work hard. Why are you doing this every day, getting up in the morning, the same routine, feeding the cows, getting the crops ready? Why are you doing that? It's for the Lord. You are doing something for the Lord. You are working for him. Now we can go even further. What is it that God has called you to do? And are you working for the Lord, or are you working for a lesser boss? Well, in doing our work, we are pointing others to Jesus Christ. That is the work of the Lord. No matter if you are pastoring on Sunday, working in retirement, that's your job right now. We're pointing want other people to the Lord. We all kind of have the same calling, do we not? It's just in different areas. And I can't go into your factory setting. I can't go into your home life. I can't be there always, and you're thankful that I'm not there. But you are there to represent Jesus Christ. Let's apply this. Three ways, by way of conclusion. Be steadfast in your commitment. The work that we're doing is for a time and a season, but the most important work that we're doing is for the Lord. Lean into that fully. Be steadfast. It can be tempting for us to abandon our commitment to Jesus Christ when trials come our way, when life doesn't turn out like we planned it to. But 1 Corinthians 15 calls us to endure these seasons with unwavering faith. Keep pressing forward. By the strength of Jesus Christ, let your faith dictate how you respond in circumstances that are difficult. I know this is easy to say and hard to live out, but we cannot lose sight of the resurrection. Jesus Christ makes it possible because he is alive. He is with us. Secondly, a good conclusion is work hard. You're in a unique position to make an impact on someone's life. Work hard at what you do. But we all have to remind ourselves, why am I doing this? Is it just for me? Am I just trying to get by in life so that I'll have just enough energy to get over the finish line? Or are you going to testify strongly to God to the very end of your life? I was reminded of this in a very powerful way in my last conversation with Jim. I don't know if I'm going to share that tomorrow, but I'll share that now, because He looked me in the eye. You know, he knew his time was short. And he said, you know, if there's anything they can do to save me, that's great. But know this, Pastor, I'm ready to go. I heard several stories about how he was witnessing to Jesus Christ, to his children, that he is so ready to go to heaven and be with Jesus. And I thought, there is an example to me of what it means to stay to the end. Work hard at what you're doing. It wasn't flashy, but he just testified to the goodness of God. And he was able to tell his doctor, yeah, thank you so much. I know you've done everything that you possibly could, and I'm ready to be with Jesus. Wow. That's exactly what Jesus did for us, isn't it? He stayed firm to the very end. So then the final challenge. I think the way that we're going to get to that point is by keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ. On our own, we are going to fail. And I'll be the first to admit I fail a lot. But keep relying on God. God says, hey, I've got something I want you to do on this earth, and I'm going to accomplish it. Don't worry about it. Don't think that what you do is not important for me. I am doing something through you, and I'm going to use your witness in a powerful way. Just keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. I've seen so many people burn out while serving God even because they have not paused to spend time with God regularly. That's why it's so important. And you know this, and yet it's so hard to do. God has work for each one of us to do, and that's my Labor Day message. We should work hard, but the burden that He has for you is not one that you have to carry. You can just enjoy and work fully for the Lord and let Him use the results. If He wants to use that to spark a revival in your family, in your neighborhood, so be it. Doesn't matter. If He doesn't, and only maybe one person looks at your example and says, oh, I see Jesus in there, that was your purpose on this earth. And you're going to stand. I'm going to stand in heaven one day in God, and He's not going to say, well, you did more than this person. There's no gradation there. He's going to say to all who lean on Him, well done, good and faithful servant. I hope that's an encouragement to you. I need that. Be sure nothing that you and I do for Him is ever lost or wasted. Amen. Jesus, we sang the song, we've promised to serve you to the end, and we acknowledge we can't do that. We really need you to make this happen. So help us as we try to stand firm. Help us to lean on your strength. Help us to give ourselves fully to the work that you have called us to do, wherever you have called us to do it, because we know that our work for you is not in vain. But you bring the increase, you bring the harvest, and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen.